verses 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Good to see each one of you here this morning. We appreciate your presence, and we invite you to be back tonight and also on Wednesday night. I'm blessed to have working for me Jacob Keene, Jacob Phoebe House, Zach and Logan from this congregation. And I think possibly Joshua Brasher may work for me some this winter. I believe if I'm overlooking somebody, I apologize. But I have a lot of fun with these boys when they're working. I watch them and I see how they have grown, especially working more with Jacob Keene now than any of the others. But I sit and I look at him. He's got his head down. He's embarrassed. How they've grown and how they've matured and how much they've learned. You know, at first, they kind of stand off wondering what to do. And now, when we get out of the truck, they go grabbing tools. They know what we're doing. They fall in and go to work. And I like that. I like to look at people and say, this is where we started, and this is where we're at now. We may have started off not knowing what we were doing, but now we know what we're doing, and we're going to move forward with that. And Judy and Scarlett and Keith and Jane, I want to tell y'all that I've encouraged all your boys to quit school and come on to work for me full time. And don't get mad at me. Jokingly kidded for them to quit and come to work. What about quitting? What about realizing where we started, where we're at now, and then to go back where we came from? What about going back, quitting? Maybe the question needs to be asked this morning, have you quit? Have you quit? Or are you thinking about quitting? Or are you in the process of quitting? Can't help but think about that and think about. I think it was November of 2005. We went to St. Jude on Thursday or Friday. We done a biopsy of Jay, and we were riding over in the field, me and him on a four-wheeler. I remember us stopping in the back of the field, and we were crying. We didn't know for sure it was cancer yet, but we assumed that it was. The doctors had thought it would be. We were going to find out Monday. I remember getting off the four-wheeler and grabbing Jay and talking to him, and we prayed and we talked, and we put our foreheads together. We'd done that a lot. At night, we would bump heads. Not hard, but we would bump heads. I grabbed him. I stuck my forehead to his. Son, I want you to promise me not to ever quit. No matter what they tell us Monday, I need you to promise me you're not going to quit. He looked at me crying and he said, I promise, Jay. I said, Jay, I mean it. May get bad, and you may have to dig deep in yourself. Don't you quit fighting. I know I've told you that story before, but it ties in with my lesson today, I think. And the
finished that story, he said, Daddy, I won't, but I want you to tell me if I need to quit. So we made that deal. Have you quit? The text that Joshua read for us just a few minutes ago, I couldn't help but think about this week. And actually, it tied in. I don't know if any of y'all watched the ball game yesterday or not. But there was a commercial, and I hate commercials. But if you're watching a ball game live, you're kind of forced to deal with it. There was a commercial about Florida. And there was a, best I remember, a little girl in this commercial. And she made the statement on there. I don't know what it was advertising or what it was dealing with, because I was trying not to pay attention. But I heard it, and she said, this earth is our only home. Now, I don't know what she was promoting or not promoting, but either way, she made the statement, this earth is our only home. And it throwed up a red flag in my mind when I heard that. I looked up at the TV, and I thought to myself, what did she just say? What did she just say about this earth and it being our only home? Because I immediately thought about John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus telling us not to even be troubled. That if you believe in God, believe also in me. And he talks about the mansions, that there's many of them, and if he goes and prepare a place for us to be, that he will come back and get us. But if you think about the text, that being said, and realizing that we're not here for a very long period of time. The little girl yesterday, this earth is our only home. Wouldn't that be a shame, David, if that's really so? I mean, if this earth is our only home, it's kind of depressing to think that the short time that we're here on this earth, that's all we got. If you live to be 20 years old or you live to be 100 years old, that is a short period of time, and it's kind of depressing saying all the effort and all the fight and all the things that we do on this earth, that it's just over. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to sit and think that everything that I have done on this earth and everything that I've accomplished on this earth, that when I'm dead, it's done. Paul says here, I love this, don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. That's really what he's saying. And we do that sometimes, don't we? We deceive ourselves. We talk ourselves into things sometimes. And Paul said, don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. There's no question about it. Whatever we're going to sow, whatever we're going to commit to in this world, on this earth while we're living here, whatever it is that we hold on to the most, that's what we're going to reap. And I wonder if you think more of worldly things or spiritual things. What's on the top of your list this morning? Is it the things that's worldly? Is it your hobbies? Is your hobby the most important thing to you? Is your most important thing your job? Maybe it's fitting in with the world. Maybe the thing that you focus the most attention on this morning is trying to fit in with the world or into the world today. If you look at the whole passage that he read for us, you know, he tells us, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. If we're holding on too tight to this world, bad things is going to come to us. He ends that by saying at the bottom of verse 8, but he that soweth to his spirit shall reap of the spirit life everlasting. There's something about this sowing. There's something about it in our life, because we get weary, don't we?
we get tired. Can't help but think back and remember about Jay after you made that promise to me. There was times he would look at me and he would say, Daddy, I'm so tired. And as strong as he was, and as much as I tried to lift him up on a pedestal and try to hold him there, there was times that Jay would get selfish, people would say. I don't think so, because I say it just about every day, what he said, and he fought it for 7 years. And I'll never forget one day he looked at me and he said, why can't I just be normal? You see, that was getting heavy on him. It was heavy that everybody else was enjoying their teenage years and life was going by, and he was fighting for his life every day, and he looked at me and said, I'm tired, Daddy. Why can't I be normal? We do that today. I do that today. I look at my life and I see what's going on in my life and I get tired. But Paul deals with that. Don't let yourself grow weary in well-doing, he said. Folks, have you quit doing good? Have you quit putting spiritual things first in your life? Have you gone back to holding on to the worldly things? For in due season, he says, you shall reap if you don't give up and you don't quit. Have you quit this morning? Flip over with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 16 down through chapter 5 and verse 1. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know, I've got that underlined and highlighted in my Bible, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a builder, a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know, those four verses says so much to us as Christians. For which cause we faint not. How is it that we stay on top? How is it that we stay encouraged? How is it that we continue to live a Christian life and we fight that day in and day out? What keeps us going? He says in verse 16, if our outward man perish. In other words, that's the fleshly things that Paul was talking about in the other passage. If we hold on to the worldly things, if all that goes away, he says it's okay. Because there's something that separates us from the world. We as Christians, there's something that separates us from the whole world, and that is that we have the hope, we have the life, the Christian life, and the hope of eternal life. He says, we know, in verse 1, we know this. The problem is we forget that we know. We forget what we do know. And it's so easy to lay the sword down and say, I'm through fighting. So easy to say, I'm not going to carry on. And throw our hands up and say, I can't. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 5 through 8. If you look at verse 5 there. Are you after the flesh? Are you after the spiritual? It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject of the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 5 throws a challenge to us, and number one, we have to decide which one are we after. I started off asking, what is it that you hold on to? Is it spiritual things or is it worldly things? And here Paul is dealing with it again. Are you after the flesh or are you after the spiritual? Verse 6 says, if you're after the flesh, what is it? What did he say in verse 6? If you're after the flesh, what's those two words? It's death. Now, that should be a big red flag for us that throws up. If we're going to see the fleshly things, and we're looking at death. But he goes on, but if you're after the spiritual things, there's two words, life and peace. If you're going to hold on to the spiritual things, there's two things that you can know that he dealt with earlier, that you can know these things, that is life and peace. And to those two things, you know what I say? Amen. There's two things that we need, Charles. Number one, that's life. And I'm not talking about life on this earth. I'm talking about the next life we want to live. And there's where we find the peace that we need. Verse 7 says, the flesh is enemy of God. And verse 8 says, if you're living for the flesh, you cannot please God. So this morning, have you quit? Have you quit? Or are you in the process of quitting? Are you going to turn away? You know, most everybody in here, I know everybody is not, but most everybody in here is a New Testament Christian. Most everybody in here has been baptized for the remission of their sins. They have put on Christ. They have decided at some point in their life, I am going to live for the Lord. But the question to us every day, especially today, I want to challenge you is, am I quitting my commitment to God? Dale's class this morning, I couldn't help but think when he was teaching class this morning, Dale, how that ties into what we're talking about here this morning. Well, it's talking about the fear that we have. Why do we not fight the good fight? Why do we not trust God? Why do we not do these things? Why are we not evangelizing? Why are we not winning souls to Christ? Why are we not living a faithful life? Why are we not doing these things? Is it because of ourselves, or is it because we're limiting God and we're limiting His ability that He has to help us through these problems, help us to be the people that we need to be? Yeah, Dale talked about how that they feared that these people were giants. I don't want to go face them. Well, this world that we live in today, it applies to us today, because look at the giants that's out there against us today. I agree with him. I don't like watching the news either. I hardly ever watch it, because you look at it, you get depressed, but it doesn't mean those things are not going on today, and the giant out there against us today is Satan. And he's got so many soldiers in his army. And folks, we got to hold on to God, and we got to believe that we can overcome, that we can fight the good fight. In Psalm 71, we're going to look at just a few verses here. First of all, in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. How do we fight this fight? Understanding, number one, that God is still our refuge. He's still our refuge. He is our strength. God is still our deliverer. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read the entire 70 Psalms here, but go home this afternoon and read this passage. Look at verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. God is still our deliverer today. You got a challenge in your life. How are you going to overcome it? You're going to trust in God. Wednesday night, I was walking to the back checking to see if everyone had a teacher, and I got to the back, and the teenagers did not have a teacher, and I ended up staying back there, and I asked them a couple of questions. I asked them, number one, what was your worst day? What caused it to be your worst day? How did you get through that worst day? What was your best day? What made it good? We talked about the two scenarios there. Then we ended up in Luke chapter 15 talking about the prodigal son. We talked about how he started off and how we all beg at some point in our life, and we beg our parents for something. And when we could just picture this young man going to his daddy and begging, hey, I want my money. And he give in and give it to him. And that day, the prodigal son, he had a false sense of happiness and hope because he had gotten what he wanted. He didn't get what he needed. He got what he wanted. And then we talked about the worst day when he went out and he was broke and he realized, hey, there's nothing I can do. I'm at the bottom. But then really his best day was when he come home and his father forgived him. That was the best. When we know that we're in the safe arms of our Father in heaven. And he still delivers us today. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, my confidence from my youth. Verse 5. God is still our hope today. Verse 6, God is still our sustainer. By thee I have been sustained from birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. This morning, where do you stand with your relationship with God? Are you in the right relationship with God? Are you a Christian? This morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to turn away from sin, repent of those sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God? And if you're willing to do those things, then this morning you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here, however, and you're a Christian, and you've fallen away, you wandered away at some point along the way, you've quit. You've decided, hey, I am not going to continue this course. And, you know, a lot of people do that. We get to thinking about ourselves and we think about how tired I am continuing to fight. Because after all, we look around at our friends, we look around at school, we look around at work, and these people that's living worldly, they seem to be having such a good time. Good time in the sense of they're out drinking and partying and doing things that they shouldn't. And the world's taught us, it's not that that's a good time, but the world has taught us that's what a good time really is. But it's really not. A good life is the Christian life. Is there anybody in here that doubts that a Christian life is a good life? Because if you're close to God and you're in the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all your sins, that takes a lot of worry out of your life. Because you know that you're in the right relationship with God, and you have something that the world does not have, and that is an opportunity that you can drop your knees and pray to God our Father, and he will hear you in a prayer. So if you wandered away from God and you need to come back, our prayer is that you will do that while we stand and sing.